The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this January 3rd, Monday, 2022. 2022, wow. And tonight we have, of course, we have the courageous Craig on the board.
Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, courageous. And we have way out yonder in Missouri, none other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, here we have another year on radio for the two of us. I'm not sure what to say. Happy New Year, more work ahead.
This year we turned 50 years on the radio this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, I must have been, I think I was around 5 when I started.
It couldn't be much over 50, could you?
Yeah. You know what, even at that I would still be considered old to some people. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get over that. Let's get into it.
Citizens.
Yeah.
Calls us.
Yeah, some call us old folk. Anyhow, let's see. We got to get started here with prayers. We have people calling me all day long for prayer. Now it's an interesting thing because we've had a number of the ladies, and I hope they're listening tonight, that normally help out and answer the telephone. I got one lady that will not answer the phone. She's working. On that computer, she's working, and she will not answer the phone, okay? But the other ones have been busy, and when they're packing things up, because, you know, this time of year, we've been sending out a lot of books and calendars. Well, we've been shorthanded. I mean, like, really shorthanded. And so I've been fielding the phone calls. I've been answering the phone, which normally I don't do, but I had to do it because I didn't have any help. Well, anyhow, these folks are, yeah.
You could be like New York. They're letting doctors and nurses go back to work even though they have COVID because they're short-staffed.
Yeah, but I don't have COVID.
Oh, okay. Well, then that won't work for you guys.
Okay. So if I get COVID, will things work out then?
Yeah, well, and I don't know in Ohio, but in New York, they let you come to work if you're a doctor or nurse and have COVID.
Wait a minute.
For COVID.
But what if you're white? Can you get treated for COVID?
Now, that might be a different problem. You might not be able to get treated, at least on the priority list.
And you have to go to the back of the line, bottom. Don't you?
You would be, well, you would not only be in the back of the line, you'd be on the bottom of the heap.
Being white and being a pastor?
And being a rather outspoken conservative Christian, yes.
Actually, if I was in New York, I'd probably be in jail, okay?
Probably.
But anyhow, I'm not there, so here's what we got. We've got prayer requests. So now, all these people are calling us with prayer requests, and we can't do them all. That's what we do on Thursday mornings. We gather for like 3 hours. We are in continuous prayer. But we can do a couple a night here on the program. But what's the important thing? The important thing is, what does it say? Much prayer, much power. Little power, prayer, right. Little power. No prayer, no power. Now, if we have all of those folks listening to us out there tonight, pray with us, is that much power?
Much power, if they really pray with us, yes.
And why should they pray with us?
Because they will someday need prayer. If they haven't, they will. And a lot of them already have, and they know that they will need it again.
Absolutely. Most of them could use it right now, in fact. So anyhow, folks, you heard what he said. We need all of you to join in with us. Here's what we got tonight. We've got Ed and Marcia. They're an older couple, and they have COVID. And Marcia is in the process of passing kidney stones, and they're both afraid to go to the hospital. They're afraid if they go to the hospital, they'll be given that poison. I mean, it's really at the point where people have lost all trust in the hospitals and doctors now. Thank you, AMA. You've really done a great job, AMA. You've totally lost all credibility. But anyhow,
what was the first name? I got Marcia, but
Ed and Marcia. Ed and Marcia.
Okay.
So we got to pray for you. If you would pray for Ed and Marcia for a total healing, and for Marcia was in a lot of pain. That she would get through this, also passing the stones, because both of them have other problems too, like they're diabetic, and they have other problems, both of them. So, and then there's another fellow I'll pray for. Now, I don't know this guy. All I know is I got a call asking to pray for Doug because he's very sick. He's got the COVID, and he will not go to the hospital. He doesn't trust the hospitals. Another one doesn't trust the hospitals. So I'll pray for him.
All right.
When you go ahead and pray for Ed and Marcia, that the good Lord will give them a healing and bless them in every area where they can be blessed.
I'd love to. Pray with me, please, everyone that can hear. Dear Heavenly Father, there is so much sickness going on, as you know. In fact, you know the real numbers of the people with COVID, with the flu, with colds that are dying from the poke. You know it all. And you know all the other problems that Ed and Marcia have besides the COVID and the kidney stones. But Lord, when they call in and ask for prayer, you have told us to bring everything to you. So we bring Ed and Marcia to you, Lord. We would ask for a miraculous healing, that you would just pour out your healing power upon them, heal their bodies, take away the pain, and let them be wonderful witnesses and great testimony to your healing power, Lord. We would just ask that you just comfort them, be with them, and just give them every blessing that you can. And we just ask this in that precious name, that name above all names, your son Jesus. Amen.
All right, very good. Thanks. Let's pray for Doug. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know Doug, but you do. And Lord, I know thou knowest all things. And so I'm going to hold Doug up and ask again the same thing for Doug, that you might touch him and heal him. And for Ed and Marcia and Doug, Lord God, that you would turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things completely and totally, that you would be a blessing, a healer, and a comforter to them at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's get into the scripture. Do you remember the title of the message?
Yeah, if I can say it, I can remember it. Our immutable, irrefutable, and undisputable God.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And we're going to get into the reasons for that because, you know, today we're hearing things from people like, why should I believe in God? And it irritates me a lot because of these people that have these pollsters. It seems like they almost joy in saying fewer and fewer people are going to church, fewer and fewer people believe in God, and you see the young people today saying, I'm not a religious person, and I really don't believe in God. I really don't think about it. And then they look at each other for nods, you know, from one another of those that agree in agreements. You know, like, yeah, I don't believe in God either. You know, like, that's a popular thing to do. That is a stupid thing to do. That is a really, really stupid thing to do, okay? And so...
affirmation.
Yeah, and these pollsters almost seem to delight in talking about how church attendance has fallen and how, you know, more people, you know, the divorce rate is just about, you know, what is it, 70-80% now? Divorced people get married or divorced. And I was, you know, so here we're going to start tonight in Psalm 14. Now, in this psalm, there are people get a little bit confused about who the children of men are. So would you read Psalm 14, verses 1 through 7?
Okay, and a little clue is I have a little side note on called Ode to an Atheist. Mm-hmm. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eats up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were coming out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad.
Okay, so here we see King David referring to the children of men. Now, we get a little bit of a clue to who the children of men are, where he tells you here, all have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge. So this is where people get a little bit confused here. Now, he's not talking about everybody, but he's talking about, see, God is the father of all natural people. All
right, creator.
Right, but God, when it comes to the spiritual aspect, God is the father of those that are born again, those that are saved. But we read in John chapter 8 that Satan is the father. Satan is the father of the spiritual father of the unsaved.
Right.
So
we are sons and daughters if we are born again of the living God spiritually. But the sons of men are the followers of Satan that are
right.
Not born-again believers.
So those that say there is no God, they are fools. They are absolute total fools. There are rebellious people who hate the very thought, Joe, of having to, have to be accountable to the Creator. They hate absolutes. We've had, over the many years, we've had a number of people, just about all of them, for what some reason or another, have been women, but call in and they tell me how it makes them angry. It makes them angry that I'm so sure of what I'm preaching. That it makes them angry that you're so sure of what you're saying. Well, Joe, if I'm preaching directly from the Word of God, can I be sure of what I'm saying?
You certainly can. His Word is perfect. It's eternal. And both you and I, being born again, know we have that personal relationship with the Lord. He has guided us, directed us. We have felt him move. We have had him change a sermon on us 10 minutes before we were supposed to preach. He has done, we have seen all kinds of things. He has controlled us, guided us, directed us. So we are sure of our relationship with him. So when we preach his word, we know it to be the absolute positive truth.
So is there any better source of knowledge and information when it comes to all of creation than God's Word, the Bible?
Right. And that coming from a born-again believer with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to guide and direct, that also is a big part of it.
So why do you think that they hate absolutes?
Because they don't like the choice of heaven or hell, that they either have to be, you know, give themselves, ask for repentance of sin, turn from their sin. They want their, they want to be able to control their own life, make their own decisions, and live as they choose, not as God dictates.
Is there any wiggle room with absolutes?
Well, I remember that liberal professor many years ago saying there are no absolutes, absolutely. And I thought, what a statement. There are
right.
absolutely no absolutes. Well, there is one. It's called God. He
well,
is totally absolute.
So what they're saying, okay, when they say this, there are no absolutes, they've deceived themselves because it's the notion that if they refuse to acknowledge the existence of God, then God can't exist. Now, this is a mindset amongst the... Well, listen, I have a friend who was a liberal, a professor, and we debated, and I think I've told that story before, about creation versus evolution. And, you know, I told him, I said, look, I can prove creation in 5 minutes. You could not prove evolution in 5 years. And he said, well, how is that possible? I said, look, it's here, right in front of us. God created the heavens. Take a look up there. You see the birds up in the sky? You see the airplane? I've been up there. It's the heaven. It's there. Look,
yep.
Down at your
For
feet.
Real.
You're standing on the earth, okay? It's there. Okay, you've seen the little critters running around. They're here. Look at me. I'm a man. It says right here, God created a man. I'm here. You can see me. You can hear me. He says, yes, but theoretically, if no one acknowledges your existence... But theoretically, you don't exist.
I've heard that line, and I say, well, you know, let's go for a hike in bear country, and you can theoretically believe there are no grizzly bears out there and no grizzly bears with cubs, and you can go anywhere you darn well please, and we'll go prove that you're wrong.
I did something better than that. I acted immediately.
Ah.
I got him in a headlock, and I Dutch rubbed his head. And he... he let out with a sound of a goat.
Oh.
And my wife came out in the back and said, what on earth are you doing? And I said, honey, I am being acknowledged. And he acknowledged me, okay?
Yep.
And he complained about...
You can try and not believe I'm here all you want, right? Okay,
well,
very good.
Well, he complained about losing some of his hair because he said, I didn't have much to begin with. Now I've got less. And I says, yes, but at least you've acknowledged me. And that didn't make him happy at all. But anyhow, you see, so here...
Yeah, please, everybody.
Right, when you have these people out there that say that there is no God, well, you take a look, all of creation is shouting the existence of God. It is impossible, absolutely impossible, to have a creation without a creator. There never has been, there is not now, and there never will be. Okay, so now, here, when you have people like Bill Maher, or George Soros, well, of course, Soros says he's a god. Oprah, of course, she says she's her own god. Bill Gates.
Her own salvation, yeah. She didn't say God, but she said she made her own salvation.
She's, well...
That does kind of imply power,
right.
Doesn't it?
And Mark Zuckerberg... and these, and remember, none other than Margaret Sanger, okay? She was one who made some very famous statements. That's why she's Hillary Clinton's hero. But anyhow, so these people have all made that statement that there is no God other than themselves. So then they are very clearly defined as the fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool.
God, right.
Okay, so we had, last week we had some fellow call in from Los Angeles, and he was referring to his God, his Lord and Savior, King James, what's his name, the basketball player?
Oh, Gil It's on the tip of my tongue. I don't pay any attention to him.
Baron James, King Baron James.
Baron James, yep.
LeBron James. Okay, so the Chinese guy, and but he don't know he's not Chinese, I guess. Anyhow, so and I said, now tell me that again. And he said he was his God, Lord, and Savior. Well, I instructed to that man. I said, you are a fool. Okay, and so here now, when you go back over here, he said, let's. He said, they have all workers of iniquity, no knowledge. They eat up my people as they eat bread and call upon the Lord. Today, today there are those that are eating the people with, what are they doing? With porn in the public school system. They're eating up the people. In Virginia, they had gotten the porn out of the textbooks, but then they turned right around and put it back in. And then here, they're killing the children, eating their children with, making them wear soiled face diapers all day in the public school system. With, they're killing people with bioweapons and deep state tyranny. And so what does he say here? He says, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come. No, let me go back one, verse 5. There were they in great fear of God, is in the generation of the righteous. And that's where we have to stay. We have to stay in the generation of the righteous.
Righteous.
And how do you do that? Only one way, through obedience to God, huh?
Right.
And so
there is no other way to be obedient. He calls you to come together and worship together. He gives you a whole list of the things you're supposed to do. Be a doer of the word, be a doer of the work, be a doer of the law. I mean, it's pretty clear what he wants.
All right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop there because we don't really have time to get into our next passage in Malachi. That's a good one, but it's going to take a little longer time than we have tonight. So let's do this. We're going to play a clip. And now this clip is there. It is from that fellow who is, I'm trying to remember real quickly, Fulmer is his name. I'm trying to think of his first name. Dr. Reiner Fulmer. And Dr. Reiner Fulmer is going to be, he's Fulmic. F-U-E-L-L-M-I-C-H. Dr. Reiner Fulmic. Okay, now, this guy is a lawyer and a doctor, and he is going to be talking about how the end of this thing, what is really going to be the end, what's going to stop all of this tyranny with the bioweapon shots. What's the end of it? So this is going to be about a 19-minute clip. So, folks, pay close attention. This is the fella that, well, he'll tell you himself. Listen, there's going to be about four people in this clip here. And, well, take it away.
Done. To disguise the true figures before you even get to the fact that these reporting systems were never robust enough for an outright clinical trial of millions, potentially a few billion people. They just can't do it. You know, it speaks of being premeditated at the very least. You know, I'm sure you've probably got to that conclusion already.
Well, we've come to that conclusion quite a while ago, except we thought that maybe there's not quite enough evidence. Well, if you look at the totality of the evidence, there's more than enough evidence. However, a very recent presentation, which I'm sure you know, done by Dr. Mike Yeadon, shows precisely how they use these different batches in order to have an experiment within an experiment, in order to try out what kind of dosage is needed in order to, this is what it looks like, in order to kill people and maim people. And I mean, this is inescapable, at least in my view as a lawyer, it is inescapable evidence of there being premeditation. And once you have premeditation, there is no immunity for anyone anymore, not even in the United States.
I think we should shortly have a look on this, what Mike Eden spoke about. I think I have, if you want, I have prepared it and I can show just for the audience too, because it's very important.
Yeah.
We speak about the vaccinations. It's not the vaccinations. It's not true that there is the same stuff in each shot. Right. And we have very, very hard evidence with the batches that they are differently, if they are shaped differently, have different effect. And I just want to show this. When we see our normal statistics, we see the following something from the European, for instance, for the European.
Do you mind, Sam, if he jumps in and shows?
No, not at all. No, I was just we've got experts talking about what's being reported on the VAERS data. So we've got they don't refer to batches; they refer to lots.
Yes.
They've got 11 lots with 6 or 7% of the deaths. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
You can see this here. This is what they normally show. And this is the European data. You see the people getting the jabs here, and this is the people dying. And you see there is it's not always continuously moving here, but there are like teeth going up and down. Mm. So, and you can say a lot about this. It doesn't say anything, but if you analyze it as it was done in US with the lots and the batches, you can see much more. You can see this. There you see the table where you have the states of the United States, the 50-something states of the United States, and there you have the batches.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the numbers here in this table here, and you see in some batches you see no cases. This is all people who died from those batches, and it's from each lot here. I think it's a lot. You see the numbers here, and it's in some there is nothing, nobody dies here. But then suddenly there are few where many people die, hundreds die. And then again a pause, and then again you have those people dying here. And when you have a look on this, a very close look on this, and this is what they did, then you can find such a thing. You can see here, you have 9,500 different batches all here. And see on the baseline here, you see that normally nothing happens. But in some batches, you see that something happens. And this, you have the toxicity here, toxicity expressed in death. And this is some cases are 3,000 times more than the baseline, toxic than the baseline. And then you have batches where you're 2,500 times toxic than the baseline, and in between those single piles of death cases, there is quietness. There is nothing happens. So you have always a phases, and you this just a second.
It's probably that they're trying to reestablish a baseline in between.
It's regular. You mm-hmm. see it's linear here going down, mm-hmm. and there are less and less death cases. It is like they try to find out the doses or the effect of something, how many people die. And mm-hmm. you can see that this is 3,000, 2,500. You have 2,000, 1,500, and 500 deaths. And it's dependent on the different batches. And this is only from Pfizer. We have a different structure with Johnson & Johnson had horrible accumulation of cases in certain batches. And we know all this. And this tells us very clearly, and each doctor should know it, that the batches are not controlled, that the doctors just use for a big experiment where they try out something. We don't know what they try out. We don't know why people die, whether it's the spikes or whether it's something else. We don't know it. Because
the bottom line is that there's, even though, of course, it is quite clear that some of the batches are, or at least on its surface, appear to be harmless. maybe it's saline water in there, we don't know. But others are not. So there's a, this is what Mike Eden came up with. There's a 1 in 200 chance that you're going to run into one of those dangerous batches or lots. 1 in 200. So this is a game of Russian roulette you're playing. The first shot may be okay. The second may be okay.
No,
the booster may be okay. It's sooner or later, they're going to get you.
It's not Russian roulette. It's a trial. It's planned. And the batches are sent somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the batches are used by, and they are all registered.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they are equally transport over the used over the whole state. And sometimes there's a local spot, and it depends. And what we and what was found out too is that when one firm is doing such things like BioNTech does it here, the other keep quiet. The other don't do their experiments. And then the next firm, the next enterprise does it with its own stuff. So they say, I want to do something. I want to try out something. And then I want to try out. Then it's AstraZeneca. Then it's Johnson & Johnson. And then it's Moderna. And they all have different ideas what they could try out in this very, very big trial. So all those stupid doctors think they give the same injection to everyone. It's not true. They are misused for a very big trial where there's no ethics committee. It's an obscure trial where the people are just the victims. And there are some people who have the idea that they could genetically modify something, humans, and they could perhaps, they all have patents on this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they have patents, and they said, oh, I have a patent too. And now we have the new one. We shall have the new vaccine. There will be Valneva, and there will be, I don't know, there are 120 new in the pipeline, and they all want to try out. And now it's the time they can do it because we are afraid and we need the vaccine and we all participate in this nonsense. In this very, it is worse than Nuremberg, what happens now. It is horrible. There are thousands of Mengeles now, but some of them don't know, but others know very well what they do. And they kill people. They kill thousands of people.
Intentionally.
Yes, intentionally.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a very, very scary looking graph because, I mean, you know, this thing that it's so...
It's proof. This is a proof.
I know, but like, look, I mean, this really that it's, yeah, you can see that it's, there's nothing in between. This cannot be coincidence.
No, it is not. It cannot be.
It's a coordinated effort, or else they wouldn't do it in a synchronized way. First BioNTech, Pfizer, then Moderna, then Janssen. They're doing it in a highly coordinated way so that they will not interfere with each other. Each one of them is doing their own little experiments within an experiment. And what Wolfgang has pointed out to us, Sam, is that, of course, it's not just Mike Eden who knows about this, but yeah. It's the entire community, all of the pharmaceutical industry. They all know it.
So and the Paul Ehrlich Institute knows it.
Yeah, they know it. So they all want to be part
and
of it.
And they hide it.
It's only a question of time until all the others will join in and make it even worse, because it is easy to extort those who are already committing the crimes so that they, the others, will also be admitted into this, well, mass serial killing.
Yeah, yeah. Our statisticians have, two of them have got together and repeated the findings of the VAERS lots, that they call them. And then that's been repeated by teams in the US, and it's been shared collaboratively. So if it's that easily repeatable, it must be known.
Yeah.
And if perhaps you assume that it wasn't known before, and we think that it was, the very higher echelons of those who probably control governments, but it is known now. Yeah. So now it stops.
Yeah.
And if we can prove criminal intention or even gross negligence manslaughter, it may well be that those who've been harmed or those who've lost a loved one can actually get some form of compensation.
Yes.
Because at the moment, it's basically impossible in the UK and worldwide. And that's been the case with vaccines for a long, long time.
But I mean, it's like, you know, Wolfgang, when you said that the other companies keep quiet or are not doing anything, or the batches that they are producing at that point don't seem to be harmful, like during you know, at the same time where maybe the Pfizer stuff is harmful. So that, but that then also shows, I mean, it's almost like unbelievable that there's some sort of synchronized effort. So there must be people, you know, not only in one of the companies, but getting together and say, well, we are now using this week of first week of April, and we are using the whatever. I mean, that's I have a hard time wrapping my head around this.
It is a guy who is called Pierre Craig Pardekopper, P-A-R-D-E-K-O-P-P-E-R. He made this work. He analyzed all this and he published it. This is what Mike Eden used, and he did it already on the 2nd of December. And it is.
Who is he, Wolfgang?
He's some guy who's dealing with statistics, improving other. And he works close to some pharmaceutical industry, but not to this one. But he knows about what happens, and it's very. I was very fascinated. I published already in December, or beginning or November. I published that this fact that 9%, that only 5% of all the batches were responsible for all side effects. This was published. This was already, but this analysis is much more detailed, and it tells something about the structure of this giant clinical trial. We are the victims, and I think this is something for state attorneys, if they are still there. I don't know, but this is something.
This is of course
where we should immediately go and get the files from Paul Ehrlich Institute.
Yeah. This is a legal problem, of course. Ultimately, this is a legal problem, but this makes it a whole lot easier for any lawyer in this world to show intent. Because this, as I said, this is an inescapable conclusion. From these graphs, you can show intent. They are deliberately using different dosages, coordinated with each other so that they won't interfere with each other in order to try and find out what kills the best or what maims the best.
Yeah, we have those data from VAERS, which is the U.S. with statistics, where it's easy to find out. I'm very happy that they have such a transparent system of documentation. But when you try to find out in an email, you find out you don't see it. It's very difficult to see that. You don't see the badges so easily.
You can't in the UK, Wolfgang, at the moment. So we've asked for additional information. Mm. Also, the stillbirth miscarriage data appears to end in March 21 currently.
I did.
Yeah. And we need that. We need that urgently. Yes.
We have this law, information freedom law, where they should give us everything. They will give us preps, and they will give us files and papers. I did such a thing before with the pharmaceutical industry. They send us boxes with papers, with thousands of papers, which we had to scan to find out what was going on, to find some connection there between the data. But they will make it very, very difficult. But it would be their job to make it easy, because their job is to protect us from such criminal things.
Yeah. It's been a trend amongst the freedom of information requests to the MHRA, the regulator here, that they've been denying some of the FOIs. And we have that. And they'll talk about things like commercial interests taking priority.
These are commercial interests. That's true.
Yeah, that's what we're concerned about.
But you know, when we spoke to people from like self-help vaccine victim groups, and it was interesting. I mean, when you compare this now to what we just discussed, like how much they're doing everything in order to help keep these the vaccine report damages reports under the carpet, you know, because they like they said that, you know, like some of the groups get censored immediately, like from Instagram, and you know, after like a few weeks when it's going up and people are joining and are reporting their damages, like, or discussing them amongst themselves, you know, immediately they get censored. And what they also see that, you know, when they go to the doctors, I mean, some of them get ridiculed or get sent from one doctor to the other. They say, oh, there's no connection. And then they find on the internet, and are not supposed to find on the internet, what other victims report as problems. And some of them are really afraid to come forward because they feel that, you know, if they kind of break the, you know, like give away the secret that they've been harmed. That's how they feel it. You know, it's like it's that dirty little secret that they got harmed by the vaccine, you know, instead of coming out and say, wow, this has happened to me. So they get by this censorship and all this, like, you know, negative propaganda, they get so afraid that they keep it to themselves and also not seek for adequate help. You know, it's like it's a really devilish kind of circle that's going on here.
Well, that young lady that I mentioned, Chelsea Dixon, her story will be reported in the alternative media. It won't get picked up by the mainstream media.
I think I'm very sure what I just showed you, those things we spoke about, we will be wiped off from the media, from the alternative media, immediately.
Yeah.
This is what we just published. This will disappear immediately if you take it down and save it in your computer so that you can spread it. So please do it as fast as possible.
My computer got hacked as soon as I did get invited onto mainstream media, and they hacked my website as well. Very similar to what Mike Yeadon experienced.
I see the fact checkers sweating now what they can do against this. It's such hard data. I'm very curious what they will say.
Yeah. Well, Robert Malone won't be contributing to that discussion on Twitter because he's gone now. You know, so this has to end. We need a new world, new media. Probably a new medical system as well, a new financial system, because, you know, these are the people behind it.
Yeah, we need a great reset, no? We are.
not that one.
these findings in particular have immense legal repercussions, immense. Because once you arrive at the conclusion that they're doing this deliberately, intentionally, or as Martin Schwab puts it, maliciously. Once you arrive at this conclusion, the floodgates are open in the United States for punitive damages.
And those data, they are present.
I know.
They are the official verse data. There's nothing hidden. It's open. Everyone can have it.
Yes, but you have to draw the legal conclusion. And the legal conclusion is its intent. And if it's intent, you can get punitive damages. You can go up to 21 times the actual damage, which is added on top of the actual damage. In these cases, I would think you can go up to 1,000 times because these people got so badly injured. I think this is going to be enough to dismantle the entire industry.
Yes. Yeah.
Alrighty, we are back, and during that, I got another text from the people. There's a woman named Becky is in the hospital on ICU ventilator. Oh boy, okay, they don't last long there, and she's drugged, and her family is asking us to pray for her, please. And so let's do that right now. Again, we're going to ask you folks out there, remember, listen, just trust the Lord in this. There are a lot of people alive right now because people like you prayed for them. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know who Becky is, but Lord, you do. Again, I want to hold Becky up to you right now. Her family, Pam, is asking for prayer. And also for Debbie, who's also on the ventilator and drugged up. So, Lord, I want to hold both of them up, Becky and Debbie, both in ICU, Lord, and ask, Father God, Lord, that you might touch both of them. Father God, Lord, that you might touch him, you might heal him, that you might bless him in every area where you can be a blessing. Get him out of that hospital, Lord, as quick as you can. Well, Lord, I know you could get him up and walking. So, Lord, again, we want to hold him up to you and ask, Father God, Lord, that you would just again touch him, heal him, and, Lord, turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things. This is what we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
You know what they were just saying? Those were four doctors there. And you know that they were talking about the Nuremberg, Code, Joe. America signed on to the Nuremberg Code. All the countries did. We signed an agreement, and that's a treaty or a pact with the Nuremberg that that it's a crime to try to force anyone to take these experimental vaccines. They're killing people. China, Joe Biden's allies, Red China, you know where he got his billion from? They're bragging that they're killing American troops, destroying the American military without firing a shot because of these shots. And they are. And here you've got these people.
They use the word destroying. Yeah.
And that's exactly, you've got this little silly Millie, and that's Austin. Here's a guy that's demanding the troops, so-called Secretary of Defense, demanding the troops. And guess what? He got fully vaxxed. He got shot up, vaxxed up all the way. And guess what he's got? He's got COVID, right? How stupid is this? Joe, I want to read this article. Disgruntled Marines say Biden's vaccine mandate is a political purge. Okay, now this is from Newsmax. We have people that will irritate me by calling in, thinking that since they have time to do this, that I have time to give the resources and of everything. We don't, but this is from Newsmax out there, and the author is Brian Freeman, and so. This article was from Wednesday the 29th, but several Marines who refused to get the corona vaccine, which is not a vaccine, told Fox News that they are witnessing a political purge by China Joe Biden regime that is forcing out the military's best and brightest over deeply held beliefs that they are protected by the First Amendment. First of all, you know they are the brightest. These are the ones that are smart enough not to take the poison, huh?
Right.
The Marines who were granted an nominee by Fox so they could speak freely said there was also a blanket denial of religious exemptions. This is a total violation of the law, okay, by these lawless people, okay? To the vaccine mandate with their applications being rejected without consideration. Okay. Marines have been discharged for refusing the vaccine, and thousands more face the same fate after the Department of Defense, the Department of Surrender, huh? Mandates.
More and more like that, yeah.
Yeah. Mandates on all religious mandates on all active duty service members went into effect for the Marine Corps on November 28th. Although Marines are permitted to apply for religious exemption, so far not a single application has been approved. These guys are bootlickers. This is what this Austin is. I wouldn't trust this guy. Unbelievable. As far as I'm concerned, they're guilty of high treason. Here he goes on to say, a major with more than 17 years of active service said, there's something fundamentally wrong at this point with our nation's leadership. We are facing an unconstitutional edict that I think is very targeted as a political purge, taking out some of the best and brightest soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and guardians from the Space Force. A lieutenant colonel with more than 19 years of active service said the Marine Corps is discharging service members as fast as they can brutally as they can, damaging every Marine as much as they can on the way out. That's exactly what they're doing. These people, these are, as far as I'm concerned, folks, and you know what? Let me tell you who I really hold responsible for this, is those Republicans that did not stand with President Trump. Those that did not, when they had the chance to do the right thing, and unfortunately some of those people should have known better, and I couldn't believe, that they did it. But I got to say, Tom Cotton was one. He should have stood when he didn't. And, of course, Mike Pence, he knew what he had to do. When President Trump says, Mike, do the right thing, he didn't. He gave in to the pressure of the news media. And every one of those cowardly courts, unbelievable ho, they would not do their job. They would not listen and take the evidence. That's what their job. That's what they're supposed to do. But they backed down from deep state pressure. They backed down. And I am so ashamed of them. And, I'm praise the God Almighty would visit unto them what they did for what they've done.
Well, that's unbelievable. That whole summer of violence from Antifa and BLM, the riots, the murders, the burnings, the message was clear. You go against us. You go against the deep state. And we will turn these people loose on you. And a lot of those lawyers and courts and judges, they got the message that go against the deep state, and it's going to be painful one way or the other. And fear, the Democratic Party has been nothing but the party of fear, making people afraid. And the same thing with this virus. We've got now, 1 million vaccine injuries on the CDC's database. 1 million. They're listing 21,000 deaths, about 111,000 hospitalizations. But we know that's underreported. Columbia University says their studies say it's a factor of 20. We have never in the history of the United States had more than 100 deaths before a vaccine or medicine was taken off the market. Now, according to the CDC, we have 21,000, and according to about three or four studies that I've got in front of me, it's more like 400,000 or more. This is murder, like those doctors were talking about, and you heard them on the tape. They said, we're going to get censored immediately. If this doesn't get out and get replayed, they're going to, cut us out of the media. They don't want the truth to be told. Well, here it is right there, the CDC's own reporting. It just amazes me. Nobody can go back and look. Anything over 20, 30 deaths from any medicine, and they started shutting it down. I think the most were like 100, and it was a big surprise, and then they shut the medication down. Now we say 20,000, and nobody even bats an eye, Pastor.
Yeah, I know. And again, this is a bioweapon. We've been telling people from the start. The fellow that invented it told you, don't use it. I invented it. It's a weapon.
He invented the technology, not the poison poke, because he didn't go that far. He came up with this technology that were working, but when he found out what they were doing with the vaccine, he came out and said, no.
Right. Well, we played him several times on here. Okay, we're running up to a break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Boy, do we have a whole lot more. Do not go away.
Yeah.
Be right back with a whole lot more.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program,
you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.